Coming up next, Howard Holly presents Against All Odds. And now your host, Howard Holly.
Good morning, and welcome to another beautiful Saturday morning. We are in Palm Coast, Flagler County, Florida. My name is Howard Holly. I'm here with my co-host, Kristen White. So good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Howard.
And you're all listening to Against All Odds, How Successful People Overcome Adversity. And our guest last week, Kristen, was who?
It was Pastor Charles Solano.
Okay. And that interview went on for a bit, didn't it?
It did, and he didn't get to tell his whole story.
So tell us about what we heard from last week.
Well, Pastor Solano was born in Italy, and he lived there until he was 7. He grew up, you know, relatively poor over there, came to New Jersey with his family, where he did well in high school, but he couldn't see a way out of the poverty that he was living in. But he did, you know, he did well in high school, so he did end up going to college, where he got student loans and grants, and he took that money and he invested it into illegal drugs. So that was
he invested it in what?
Illegal drugs.
Oh.
As opposed to legal ones. But that was his way to get out of that poverty, the way that he saw that he could take that money and make something more of it.
What I also heard him say, though, is that he wasn't patient at the time. He couldn't wait until he achieved success. He wanted it to come now, fast.
Yeah, and he didn't want to be a small-time drug dealer either. He wanted to be up there, so he was a driver. He was a boat unloader. He was going to Colombia and picking up drugs. And this went on for 25 years that he was doing this. And he became something called an earner. And he spoke Italian, so that was helpful, I guess, in the drug world to get him to that place where he was successful from a materialistic standpoint and successful from a monetary standpoint, but not successful, obviously, in the way that he looks at himself now and the way that he measures success today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I thought it was a fascinating interview. And I think I started the interview by saying that he was a celebrity. Was that the word I used?
A local celebrity, something along those lines.
I really said that, you know, not to talk about in terms of famous or anything like that, but so well thought of by and through the contributions that he makes to this community. So we're doing something today that we've not done in 12 weeks of this show. We've brought Pastor Solanos back today as our guest. Welcome again, Pastor Charles Solanos.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
No, the pleasure is ours. I know our guests are saying, what? What is going on here? But as you remember, if you listened to last week, and if not, you should go back and listen to the podcast. It was an excellent interview. But toward the end, we really didn't get a chance to wrap up. But equally, I think we focused on a part of his life, which was how he got to where he was. And we really focused on a lot of the adversity that drove him there and what he learned. But what we wanted to do and what he wanted to do was to talk about what's happened since then and to spend perhaps a bit more time talking about how he has changed his life since that calling that he talked about last week. Tell us more, Pastor Solanos.
The calling of the Lord on my life completely changed my life. You know, a call is something that won't let go of you. Mm-hmm. So as I, you know, began to respond to that, it wasn't something that I was prepared for. I knew I had a call, but I didn't know anything about the preparation for the call and how to carry that out. So, you know, I just took a real active role in the local church and as time went on, I became an elder and then was ordained an associate pastor. And then, here I am a senior pastor now. It's about 22 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been serving the Lord ever since. And he's been the main driver. I revolve around him.
And so what are the things that you were doing both with your church and in the community, that you want to talk about?
Well, one of the things that we do is, you know, it is about building community. Mm-hmm. Overall, that's the main goal. We see people out, you know, throughout this county. There's, you know, family fracturing. There's, people just have a host of different issues that they don't know how to deal with. But by the same token, it's hard to reach these folks that need help because they take their, they're really kind of wary as to who they're going to be trusting. So we found that over the course of time, as we have been constant and consistent in our approach to distribute food in different areas of Flagler County, because we do it so regularly, people began to trust us with some other things, some private issues, and we've been able to minister to that, whatever their needs might be. So, you know, that's been very rewarding.
And you've been doing that type of coaching and personal counseling for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, about 15 years now. So, you know, we really enjoy it. And, you know, the way I say it, it takes one to reach one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from the pulpit, you're going to
say that more. What do you mean it takes one to reach one?
It takes one to reach one. It's really that one-on-one, conversation, that one-on-one, encounter, that I find is to be most effective. I mean, I preach every Sunday. I've been preaching for 20 years and, you know, I have had, get compliments on my preaching and things of that nature. I've had people come to the Lord through that, but the one-on-one, the people that I encounter every day on the street, they're the ones that want to ask some private questions, things that they don't understand. I actually wind up leading more people to the Lord on the street than I do from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Now, I know you also have the food pantry.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Well, the food pantry, you know, we started that about 16 years ago, and it was, it was mostly an in-house food pantry. We were feeding about perhaps 30 families per month. But then, you know, we saw about 10 years after we started, about 6 or 7 years ago, I'd say, we started to see more middle-class families coming in for help, people that were losing their jobs. That's when the economy started to tank a little bit. So what I did was I just needed some help. I needed a bigger space. I needed to branch out. There wasn't any way that the church itself could afford to meet this growing need. So I did approach the school district. Bill Delbrug was the superintendent then, and he allowed me to do some food drives in the school district and also provided us a bigger space. And after the first year, we went from 30 families a month to about 300. And then he allowed us to have an even much bigger space. And from there, we went to about 900 families a month. And then we've moved from that facility to another school district facility right here on Route 1. And now we're currently at about 3,000 families per month. So we see a lot of people.
So what are they coming for? What are you actually providing and doing? 3,000 is a huge number.
Huge number.
To say that you have 3,000 families, not individuals.
Right,
families. Mm-hmm. Coming to the food pantry here, that is almost incomprehensible. So I want to talk a bit about what's driving it and why they're coming. How can you handle the future? How do we really create a scenario where the need begins to tamper? Because we can't keep seeing it escalate, I would think. But before you answer that question, I want to take a break. Mm-hmm. And let's hear from our sponsors. I didn't do a good job of this last week. So let's hear from our sponsors and then we'll be right back to pick up on how do we manage this.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's face it, your customers are searching online. Are they finding you? Websites are drawing all the traffic. Your business needs to get better placement online and get noticed. At Marlin Consulting Solutions, located in Palm Coast, we use the latest SEO techniques to get you noticed online. I'm Jason Johnson, owner of Marlin Consulting Solutions. You can contact us at 386-957-9311 or find us online at marlincs.com.
Hi, this is Gretchen Smith of the Flagler County Chamber. Our mission is to help local businesses thrive, which is also the name of our new business-to-business magazine. Thrive is a great tool for area businesses and others considering Flagler as their corporate home. With interesting content, business highlights, trending topics, and insights you won't find elsewhere, Thrive is produced by and for Flagler County businesses. To advertise in this quarterly magazine, call the Holly Group at 386-283-5907. Let us help you thrive.
Welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds. I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel, and our guest today, Pastor Solanos. Pastor, you were just talking about the food pantry and the fact that you've gone from 30 to 300 to 900 to 3,000 families a month.
That's correct.
Where is this going? When will it stop?
Well, hopefully it doesn't go much farther. You know, it's just that we never expected to reach an amount like that. We actually have about 7,000 different families in our database, 3,000 of which will show
come
up.
Come regularly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. will come. There's about 600 or 700 families which are chronic. The other ones may come only when they need it. There's a lot of people out there right now that are living paycheck to paycheck. And if they have a car problem, if they have a medical problem, it's a choice as to what they do there. Do they buy food or do they fix their car? Mm-hmm. And so inevitably we see those kinds of numbers. We actually have locations in four different places in Flagler because many of the people can't even afford to come down. They don't have the gas. They'll run out of gas, as a matter of fact, at our location. You know, but they're very appreciative.
Are you meeting the need?
Yeah, we're meeting the need. I mean, they get a good amount of food. We allow them to come once every 2 weeks. And each family is about an average size of 3.5. So that's a lot of individuals that are eating. We're actually right now distributing about 32,000 pounds of food per week. And that's an awful lot of food. It's a semi a week.
And how are you gathering it?
Well, we have different ways. We have community organizations. We have food drives. We'll do a golf tournament. We'll have a banquet once in a while to raise funds. But now I reestablished my relationship with USDA. It was just too much paperwork for what it was worth, for what they were bringing. It was just too much of a headache. But they've streamlined their paperwork that they require, the registration forms and such, made it a lot easier. So they're bringing us quite a lot now, about 20,000 pounds a week. And so that's what's making it work real well. We're 100% volunteer, and so the community has really come on board with this. And the volunteers turn out to be great contributors. Our past clients come in to become volunteers. When they get a job, they remember us. During the giving season, it's really a sweet time because mm-hmm. Everybody gets involved, and then we make that last.
So, you know, I'm not trying to increase the demand, but how do people know where to go and –
We're pretty well known in the county. They could call the school district. Usually the school district will send people our way. There, by the way, there's up almost 500 children in the school district, which are considered homeless. That mm-hmm. is living in a home that is not their own. And we do a backpack program for them on weekends so that they will have, food to take home to their families and have snacks for the entire week. And so that's another program about it. We're mobile as well. We go to three or four different locations in the county. There's pockets where people only have bicycles. There's pockets where people are really not a great deal of them, but maybe 30 to 40 people living in trees or just aluminum boxes, as it were, these abandoned trailers, probably no utilities, there's a host of issues here that, that are ongoing. Yeah. And I haven't seen much change in that landscape
scenario yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that I think is a compliment to our community is that, they're responding to the need.
Very much so.
And that you are able to meet that need. that you institutionalized it working with the school district. Mm-hmm. So that way where they see a need, they can push them towards you.
Right.
But then you have to have the food there, and that's happening.
And that's
so
happening.
I think mm-hmm. that's a good reflection on our community, particularly given that, you know, we're a rather affluent community.
Mm-hmm.
And we really do need to take care of those who are not as advantageous and don't benefit in the quality of life that we have here.
That's right.
You know, what attracts everyone here is the quality of life.
You're right in your comments. It's a very generous community. When people do find out about it, a lot of people don't know. They're really not aware of the magnitude of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But when they find out about it, they want to participate. They want to help.
So do you accept contributions or just food or?
Yeah, we accept contributions. We accept food. People drop, but there's faithful regulars that'll come by and they'll go to a store like Big Lots or wherever there's a sale. They'll buy a couple hundred pounds of food, bring it by. We have a gentleman and his wife who make, laundry detergent in their bathtub and mm-hmm. bottle it up for us. We get hygiene products. Those are a big deal. And so, we just try to give them just take the stress off. Food mm-hmm. insecurity is a big issue when you look into your cupboard. How am I going to feed my kids this month? So
what you talk about in terms of the trade-off, you know, do I pay for my gas? Do I pay for my electricity? Do I pay for my food?
Right.
You know, how do I make the trade-off? And that means that people are barely sustaining.
Right.
They're barely existing. So what can be done about that? I mean, I know that's not your specialty, but what can we do to help fix the problem? What do we need to do?
Well, I think what we need to do, what I'd like to see happen, is this is primarily a resort retirement community. We have some jobs down here, but it's, low-income jobs, entry-level jobs. And I won't say that about all the jobs, but most of them are entry-level jobs. And if it's one paycheck that a family is bringing home, that's just barely getting them by. They're not going to be able to buy food. They have to pay for their insurance. They have to pay for their rent, any medical costs they might have, just necessities to have around the house. So we just see this, ongoing. We have not regressed in our numbers at all. In fact, now with the holiday coming up, we'll probably get up to about 3,300 for 3 or 4 months.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your sharing that with us. And I think it speaks, as I said, to our community, but also it speaks to your quality and character and the network that you've built to help address this. I want to go back to your coaching and counseling.
Okay.
Are you seeing an increased need for that as well?
Very much so. We do have a recovery house here in Bunnell. There's a myriad of problems out there. Flagler County, for instance, has come in third. This was in the Palm Coast Observer several months ago. Out of 18 counties, Flagler County came in third for substance abuse related traffic accidents. And mm-hmm. those are very serious. Yeah. Very, very serious because it can maim a person. It could kill a person. It could certainly, destroy a family's life. But we see the ravages of addiction, and all the consequences of that. So we established the only recovery house in Flagler County. We have currently right now 5 under our care. We are wanting to expand to 8 in each household, and want to have multiple houses. We see that the need is great. I mean, I just see a lot of substance abuse. It's out mm-hmm. there. It's an issue, and it's hard on families. And the response is not in my backyard,
mm-hmm.
but it's because they're looking at addicts as those that are already living around them, and they might look at those people. They're always looking for the next hit. They're looking for the next high. But people that want recovery is a different animal altogether. They want help. And so, and there's really no way out for them. They can't afford to go to Stuart Marchman at $17,000 a month, although Stuart Marchman's a good facility. There's some programs, but it's very expensive. So where did these people get help? And we see them going through the jail revolving door. The recidivism rate is very high. So these are the things that we're trying to address. And when you have that kind of an audience, you get to disciple them and counsel them. We give them a sponsor. We give them a discipler. They have to attend classes, even where they're going to learn about economics and how to even keep a checkbook, just to get a different perspective and to give them hope that there's a direction that I can take in my life and I can get out of this cycle. So that's very important to give that hope.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to begin to wrap up here, and I just want to make a comment. I think that our community and community leaders addressing problems like this, and though working with the school district and the government entities at the county and the city level are really important, it's the leadership in the community that really is needed in these types of situations, both with the drug dependency and those who are wishing to break away, as well as those who are not able to make ends meet. So my compliments to you, my thanks to you. I'm glad you fell through that net and
you.
Came out on
Me
the
too.
Other side.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you received that calling to be of service to all of us. We need more people like you, Pastor, and hopefully we'll see more, and I'll have them on the show telling us their stories as well.
Well, that would be great, Howard, and thank you for having me on, and we need people like you as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank well, you. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll have our driveway moments from Kristen. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds. We'll be right back.
Howard Holly Presents Against All Odds is being brought to you in part by Touchpoint Alliance. Touchpoint Alliance, a global alliance for communication excellence, headquartered here in Palm Coast, provides end-to-end communication solutions that help colleges, universities, and associations acquire, retain, and grow their customer base. Visit us at www.touchpointalliance.org or for a free consultation, call us at 386-283-5906.
Greetings, this is Cindy DeLecky from Marketing To Go here to let you know that our office has moved. We are now located at Palm Coast Town Center behind FPC and near Epic Movie Theater at 145 City Place on the third floor. If you are looking for branding help, social media assistance, or marketing and public relations solutions for your company or nonprofit, give us a call at 566-3466 or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/marketingtogo. We look forward to creating a buzz about your business.
Welcome back. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds. We've just finished our interview with Pastor Solanos, Kristen, and I thought it was a good continuation from our interview last week.
It was. It's interesting to see how he's taken his life from something that was such a mess. I mean, his life was a complete, almost disaster. I mean, he went to jail. He selling drugs, and now he's become a pillar in the community. He's feeding 3,000 families a month. I mean, he's probably touching 10,000 lives each month with food, coaching and counseling and the recovery house. It's just amazing.
Yeah, between the coaching and counseling, and I like his one reaching one, because that is what really makes a difference. And then he's pastoring at the church, you know, reaching his congregation there, and then touching, as you said, 3,000 families, and you said 2.5 people per family. So, you know, you do the math on that. And this one single man and his leadership, is having a profound and huge impact on our community.
Well, and that's the thing. And he had said it takes one to reach one. And the way he had described that was that you need, you know, that one-to-one time with someone to really reach them. But I think you could look at it a different way too, that, you know, each person as one singular person can really make a difference. I mean, he came here to Flagler County and started this project, this huge, impactful thing as just himself. I mean, it was just him at the beginning. He was working at another church. Then he became the pastor, and it's all flowed from there. But really, he was just one person at the beginning.
Yeah. You know, we took a turn in our show in that we did a back-to-back, which we hadn't done before and may never do again. We'll have to see. But we really did that because we didn't want to end the first show just talking about how he had escaped the, organized crime and his drug situation. And we'd spent quite a bit of time on that. And I know that there are people who we want to listen to the show and people who are listening to the show who we want to make sure that they have faith and hope and for the future and what their lives can become. And we wanted to continue that journey with Pastor Solano. Do you think we accomplished that?
I absolutely think we did. I think a lot of our other guests, it's been almost the same thing. Like, it's never too late. It doesn't matter how far and how deep you are into something. There's always that time that you can bring it back and you can become something else. You can reinvent yourself like Mignon. You can go back to school like Dr. Eaton. You can do all these things. Your life's not over. It's never too late.
Yeah, no matter where you are, you can always pivot and turn your life around. And hopefully there's someone who hears that. And I know we talked a bit about this community in this show, and we receive a lot of communications from people from around the country. So we know listening to podcasts and to our website, there are people from other parts of the country who are listening to this show. So I would say to you that what we're talking about here, and the situation that people are in terms of drug dependency, recovery, trying to get out of it, trying to make ends meet, barely existing. They exist in every community across the country. So wherever you are, please go out of your way to make sure that you are being a part of helping to solve that. We're going to wrap up. I want to thank everyone for being here. My name is Howard Holly, and you are?
Kristen Weitzel.
The best of luck to all of you in the upcoming week in overcoming your challenges both today and tomorrow. Have a blessed week.